In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been said, and you're probably familiar with the saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. That certainly is true of the enemies the church faces. That's certainly true of the false teachings, the heresies that have existed ever since the serpent told Eve, hey, if you eat of the fruit of the tree, you won't die. Jehovah's Witnesses, they're nothing but modern-day Arians, those who believe that there is no second person of the Trinity, there is no third person of the Trinity, that Jesus is just a human being. The more things change, the more they stay the same. In today's reading from Jeremiah, the Lord says to Jeremiah that there are false prophets whom he did not send. There are those who claim to speak the word of God that have not had counsel with him. And they say to those who continue to despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. To everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. It shall be well to you. But indeed, disaster did come upon God's people, Judah. Because of their rebellion against God, their ongoing rebellion against God, because their priests ministered falsely, because there was an abundance of false prophets who preached to itching ears, Judah was taken into exile in Babylon. The temple was destroyed some 600 years before Christ. To prophesy does not mean specifically to foretell the future, although it does have that meaning. To prophesy rightly is to proclaim the word of the Lord. And this is why our Lord Jesus Christ holds the threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. He, the Word made flesh, proclaimed the word of the Lord, and indeed was that embodied word. He proclaimed that word rightly, truly, perfectly, fulfilling that word in his own person. He proclaimed who he was, God in the flesh. He proclaimed what he had come to endure. Crucifixion, after being betrayed and tortured. Death on the cross for the sins of the world. He proclaimed that he would be raised again on the third day. He proclaimed that he would ascend to the right hand of the throne of God. And any proclamation, any preaching, any prophecy that leaves Jesus out of the picture is not worth a plugged nickel. I'm not exactly sure what a plugged nickel is, but I think it's a nickel that a bullet hole has been opened in. It's been shot by a bullet. So you take that to the store and, you know, you couldn't buy a Coke with that. Not that you could anyway, but these days. Jesus says in today's gospel that he came to cast fire on the earth, and would that that fire were already kindled. Today's Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah has these words: "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord?" And you are familiar with our Lord's words about separating the wheat from the chaff, that which is no good. The wheat is gathered into granaries. The chaff is burned in the fire. Do not think of Jesus as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Yes, he said of himself, he is meek and lowly in heart. But this Jesus is also the one who cleared the temple of its moneylenders, of its merchants, of those who made his father's house a den of iniquity, a marketplace instead of the house of prayer, which the Lord God intended it to be. And by the way, Jesus did this twice, at the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry. Jesus casts fire upon the earth, and would that it were already kindled. Our Lord goes on to say, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Now, baptism involves water, the application of water with the Word of God. We know what baptism is. You are baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection. You have seen, Lord knows, how many people who have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, what does fire have in common with the water of baptism? What does the water of baptism have in common with fire? You remember the preaching of John the Baptist before Jesus came to him to be baptized on our behalf. He spoke of the one who would come after him, the one who was mightier than him, the one of whose sandal John was not worthy to unloose. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire, a purifying fire. And thus it was when you were baptized. Through the Word, united with the water, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that Word, which you received, even you, if you were an infant of only a few hours old, that Word is a burning fire in your heart, purifying you, calling you away from sin, calling you to the one who has saved you, the one who has given you life eternal, to Jesus, your Savior. But what specifically is this baptism to be baptized with? This is spoken nearly 3 years after our Lord's baptism. Well, this baptism is the baptism of his suffering, of his death on the cross. This is the baptism in which he would drink the cup of God's wrath over sin. The baptism that instead of uniting him to God, so to speak, as your baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit has united you to the one true God, this would be a baptism of separation as he was bearing the sins of the world on the cross. Separation from his heavenly Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? How distressed I am, Jesus says, until that baptism is accomplished. We cannot begin to imagine what our Lord endured on the cross. We know what suffering is like. We know what pain is like. We know what loss is like. We know what grief is like. We know what affliction is like, what trouble is like. We know what it's like when one of our children goes astray. It's no fun. But the baptism our Lord endured was infinitely beyond anything that the whole lot of the human race has ever endured in the midst of suffering and affliction. If you, a believer, were separated from God for only 10 seconds, if he withdrew his love from you, his concern for you, his care for you, his grace with which he looks upon you for only 10 seconds, that would be 10 seconds of hell. 10 seconds of the most fearful agony that anyone could possibly imagine. And that would only be just a tiny particle of what eternal condemnation in hell would be like. But Jesus on the cross endures that separation for something like 3 hours. The hells that each one of us deserve, the hells that every human being who has ever lived, is living now, or ever will live, deserve, compressed, concentrated into that 3 hours on the cross when he was bearing the sins of the world and his Father turned his back on him. No wonder our Lord was in distress until that baptism was accomplished. He knew why he had come, out of love, to lay down his life for the sheep. And he knew that he would take up his life again on the third day. But he had to pass through that affliction, that division, that baptism of fire first. And it wasn't something that he looked forward to. And yet we're told in today's gradual, taken from the book of Hebrews. No, it's not today's gradual, excuse me. We're told in today's epistle, look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our Lord endured the cross for you. He endured the affliction and suffering and condemnation he experienced on the cross for you. For the joy of saving you, for the joy of transforming you from enemies of God to beloved sons and daughters of God, for the joy of the forgiveness that he would pour out liberally upon you in your baptism, in the proclamation of the word, and in the holy supper of his body and blood. Our Lord rejoiced to do this because he knew the end of his sufferings, not in the termination of, but the goal of his sufferings. And it was for you he suffered and died. And then our Lord Jesus Christ in today's gospel speaks an odd word. He who is the Prince of Peace says, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Wait, glory be to God on high and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. What can our Lord be speaking of here? It makes our heads spin. Well, you and I and all Christians living in this world are members of the church militant, the church at war, the suffering church, the church united to Jesus by holy baptism, but also the people whose sufferings are taken up into the sufferings of the Jesus who lives eternally and who is with his church, never abandoning her, never leaving her, never forsaking her. It's been said that there are two kinds of people in this world. What? Those who understand binary and those who... What is that? I don't know. Anyway, ultimately, there are two groups of people in this world. It's not Americans and everybody else. It's not even Jews and Gentiles. It's those who believe in Christ and those who lack faith in Christ. And there is division, just as on the last day there shall be a division, a separation between the sheep, those who have faith in Christ, and the goats, those who don't believe. Now, if you want to get to look at some goats, go to Jessica and Shannon's house. I don't think they have any sheep to compare them to, but you love your goats. And you know what? Jesus died even for the goats. And the church's call is to proclaim the gospel purely to those who are goats, leaving the results in our Lord's hands, the hands of the one who promises his word shall not return to him void, but shall accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. Because our Lord's specialty is transforming goats into sheep. Not that you have to worry, Jessica and Shannon. I think they'll still be goats when you get home. His specialty is transforming unbelievers into believers. His specialty is gathering the flock to himself, those who hear his word and believe it. Yes, we live in a world of division, political division, geopolitical division, conflicts between nations, conflicts even within families. But the ultimate division of which our Lord speaks, they will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. The ultimate division is that between the redeemed and the unredeemed. And that division can occur even within families. So what do we do? Well, we pray for our family members who may not believe. We intercede on their behalf to the Lord of all mercy. We show them love, love that at times has to be stern. Think of that as law, and love that is forgiving, that is gracious. And we pray that the Lord will accomplish His saving purposes for them. And one more thing. Let's say you have a daughter whom you dearly love, and she walks away from the faith. She walks away from her baptism. She walks away from the grace of God. And you die, and you enter into the presence of the triune God. Well, you don't worry about that daughter, that child in heaven, because it wouldn't be heaven if you had any worries, if you had any anxieties, if you had any griefs. And I'm just presenting an example here, but even if that child, even if that loved one, no matter how much you love them on earth, even if that person was condemned, was not in heaven, you wouldn't go looking around for them in heaven. Well, where's Clem? Where's Clarice? Where's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Because if you missed them, if you felt grief for them in heaven, it wouldn't be heaven. And the joy of your redemption, the fulfillment of your redemption, the bliss of your redemption in the presence of the triune God and the saints and the angels and archangels cannot and will not be held hostage by any act of those whom you loved on earth. Your joy in the presence of God will never be erased. And why is this? Well, to tack on an ending, I have a baptism to be baptized with, Jesus says. And how great is my distress until it is accomplished. And thanks be to God, it is finished. It is accomplished. You are free in Christ. You have a future. You have a hope. You have a Savior who works all things to the good for those who love Him and have been called according to His purposes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.